Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
It's Tuesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for a new one of those to pop up tomorrow morning. But, you know, swing over there, check out what's going on anyways. You never know what might show up that you might like. But anyways, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at BurkTime, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, you know, while I'm sure we'll have plenty of time to get into baseball, Dan, I got to ask you, you know, everybody knows by now that you're on the road traveling while we do the podcast during the week back and forth to work. Are you making a stop to pick up your Mitchell Trubisky jersey on the way home today? Your authenticated number 10 Bears future Hall of Famer jersey?
I figured you already ordered it for me.
Well, it's not, you know, your birthday's a way off and it's not close to Christmas. And I know how you like to, you know, you like to get these things right away. I mean, you had the hat before I even asked you about it for the division series. So I figured you would, you know, now that he's got a game under his belt and he's on his way to leading the Bears to the Super Bowl. Oh, even though he threw for a whopping 125 yards, didn't complete even 50% of his passes and threw the pick that cost the Bears the game. You know, I figured you'd be running out and grabbing that jersey. Of course, I didn't hear any of that on the radio. All I heard is how, well, you know, he's young and developing and it's just his first start. Yeah, you guys wanted him in so badly and he sucked. Okay, bottom line, he sucked last night. He cost the Bears a game. If it was any other quarterback, you would be killing him on the radio right now. But you kissed this guy's ass for so long to get him in the game. And now you got to cover what you were selling. He was horrible. There's no two ways about it. He was terrible last night. So, idiots. I got to hate these guys.
Well, I mean, and he's lucky the Vikings defense was nine. I mean, they were reading his plays off the get-go.
Yeah, well, you know, and I kept hearing him say on the, you know, the broadcast, well, you know, there's a limited numbers of plays he can use. Why? He's been on the team the entire year, and they had 10 days to get ready for this game. He's a professional quarterback. You know, this isn't some kid taking his first snap in high school. You know, while it may have been his first snap in an NFL game, you know, allegedly he's the next big star here. And boy, he sure didn't look at it. Did he look any better than Mike Glennon to you? Yeah, the only thing he did was get out of the pocket better. You know, and I know somebody told me, well, you know, he completed that one nice pass that got called back. Yeah, that's because they held so he wouldn't get his head taken off by a defensive lineman. So, you know, it's like, yeah, great. That's your joy is, well, they threw one nice pass, but they called it back. Yeah, one nice pass out of 25 attempts. Yeah, 125 yards. You know, okay, great. You know, tell me, well, Blake Bortles only threw for 94 and Jay Cutler didn't throw for 100 on Sunday either. Yeah, you know the difference is their team's won. Okay? Jeez, you morons. Just learn football before you open your mouth and drink the Kool-Aid and, you know, you want this. And, you know, who knows? Maybe the guy will turn out to be a decent NFL quarterback, but he's got no business in the game right now. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. you know, against an NFL team. You know, maybe he'll get lucky next week. You know, maybe the Bears have a bye and they got lucky, but I don't think so. I don't even know who the hell they're playing, but I know they got the Browns on their schedule. Maybe that'll come up and he can actually get a win because Cleveland is about the only team that sucks worse than the Bears do. So, who is it anyways? Oh, he gets Baltimore. Oh yeah. Okay. Well, they're going to get shut out next week. So yeah, you can count the biscuit as 0-2 to start off his career.
Which is exactly what you want to do to a rookie quarterback, right? It's supposed to be your future.
Yeah, you know, that's remember, I brought it up before. Remember, that's what the Texans thought with David Carr, too, and we all know how his career turned out. So, you know, yeah, hey, let's throw the lamb to the slaughter, see what happens, you know. You know, you've seen Jurassic Park, Dan. What happened when they chained that goat up in the T-Rex enclosure?
Nothing.
So
at first.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and it's funny that you say that because that's kind of how it went. You know, it seemed like at first he had things going for him, and then it all blew up in his face. But let's be honest, they wouldn't have even got to where they've gotten despite the several turnovers they caused on Sam Bradford without the fake punt, and then I'll give him credit. It was the 2-point conversion. That was a really solid play. So, you know, my question to you, I had a lot of friends and a lot of people who last week wanted John Fox, you know, on a platter out of Chicago, on a, you know, would have driven him out of the state. But he converted a fake punt and a 2-point conversion. What's the sense on him now?
Yeah, well, you know, they all got their wish. You know, they wanted Trubisky in the game. He's in the game. You know, I mean, what more can they say? Can they still want him out after he did what they wanted? You know, I mean, obviously the offense, you know, the offense still sucks. I mean, when you look at how they score, you know, the punter threw a touchdown pass, and, you know, even though Trubisky did throw a TD pass, it was nothing but dumb luck. It should have been a pick, but, you know, the saying goes, if you know anything when you hear stuff about football and that, guys end up becoming defensive backs because they're failed wide receivers, and they're failed wide receivers because they can't catch the football. And that's exactly what that was last night. That ball was right in the Vikings defensive back's hands, but that's why he's a defensive back, because he doesn't make those kind of catches. And the Bears got a lucky bounce, and, you know, it went right to Zach Miller for a touchdown, but, you know, technically it would have been his first pick of the night. The other one was later in the game. So, yeah, you know, I mean, let's build on the fact that he was able to run away from trouble and he was only sacked one time. So let's build on that and hope that works out for us. He did run for 22 yards, running out of trouble. So we've got all that going for us, Dan. Our future is very bright here in Chicago.
Well, you got to wear shades.
So, yes, you know, just kind of, you know, kind of how it goes. But, yeah, I was laughing quite wholeheartedly while I was listening to everybody try to cover their ass for, you know, talking about him being the second coming and then having him just go out and suck like he did, you know, trying to bring up all the good points. And that's what I heard. Well, look, his legs got him out of trouble. Yeah, great. That's what we want. We want a quarterback that's going to run around and be hurt most of the time. So there you go.
Well, and, you know, one of the other arguments I heard for him was the fact that, you know, a quarterback could just come in there and completely, you know, I don't want to more or less turn things around, but make an offense that's not there look even better. And, I mean, aside from Zach Miller, what do you really have?
Yeah, well, you know, the only thing you have on this offense is Jordan Howard. You know, I mean, Zach Miller's just kind of a benefit of, he's the best receiver out of a poor group of receivers. You know, on another team, Miller probably isn't even a starting tight end. That's how he ended up with the Bears. I believe the Raiders let him go before this. He couldn't be their starter. He's got no weapons to work with. That was part of the other reason why I didn't want to see him in the game, because there's just nothing to go to. There's nothing to go with here. I don't know why, you know, you would want to lead him out there. And okay, you know, his legs got him out of trouble. It was just one sack. What happens when his legs don't get him out of trouble? You know, I believe Baltimore has a better defense than Minnesota. You know, Baltimore's offense is horrible. So the Bears may stay in the game again. I mean, who knows? With a little luck, they may even find a way to beat the Ravens. I don't think they will, but the NFL has been really weird this year. How many hits are you going to want this kid to take? What's the sack number? So, you know, we'll have to see how that works out. But, you know, you give the fans what they want, right, Dan? That's, you know, everybody was crying for it. Now, you know, the media can shut up. We won't have to listen to them and, you know, all the other fun stuff that goes along with it. So we'll all be happy for a while, except me, because I think it was an incredibly dumb move. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, on the plus side, none of us were dumb enough to buy the hype, and we all picked Minnesota to win. So I was a little surprised Mr. Fantasy didn't go for it, you know, kind of hook, line, and sinker. You know, he drinks a lot of that Kool-Aid as well. But, yeah, it didn't even work. Oh, excuse me, it didn't even work on him. So, you know, that's how it works. But, I did see, Dan, in some other NFL news, I was wondering if this was – how or if this was going to play out, but maybe you caught this afternoon. The Saints traded your guy Adrian Peterson to the Arizona Cardinals for what's being called a conditional sixth-round draft pick. The corresponding move for the Cardinals was they cut Chris Johnson. That's no surprise there. You know, the weird thing about this, Dan, is Peterson really goes to Arizona now as their best actual running back. You know, David Johnson is still out till some people are saying Thanksgiving, other people are saying Christmas. You know, Andre Ellington is more of a pass receiver. Kerwin Williams hasn't shown he can handle the load as a running back. You know, it's weird, but Peterson's going to walk in there as a number one after, you know, not finding any playing time with the Saints. Do you think this could end up being a good move for both teams here, and he might put up a little bit of numbers with them?
I mean, he wasn't really doing anything down in New Orleans, was he?
No, I'm looking here. It looks like through – what do they play? I don't know if they're a four- or five-game team. I don't remember if they had a bye or not. But only 27 carries for 81 yards. He did catch two passes for 4 yards, but – you know, whoopee there. Yeah, they just, you know, they didn't really have a spot for him. You know, they obviously, you know, Mark Ingram's been there a long time. He knows the focus of the offense. You know, he's going to get the majority of the time. And then they drafted Alvin Kamara as the third down, however you want to call it, change of pace back, whatever you decide. And he's played really well in his limited opportunities, and those were the opportunities that were supposed to go to Adrian Peterson. So, you know, now all of a sudden it's kind of like, okay, great. Well, the stuff we were going to give him is now gone. What do we do with him? You know, and I, you know, obviously he wasn't happy. So, you know, you get a disgruntled guy out of, you know, how it works out. And I think it's probably the best move for both teams in this situation. Don't you?
Yeah. I mean, if they get a good draft, they got a good, right?
Well, you know, sixth rounder, I don't know how much they're actually gonna, you know, in some play, you know, some cases those guys work out, and other guys, you know, other places they, not as well, but, you know, we'll have to see you know how it goes. But yeah, you know, it's, you know, this way you got rid of the, you know, the disgruntled guy, you know, on the team who, you know, could potentially be a problem. I don't believe the Saints are really going anywhere anyways. So, but yeah, you know, one less headache, right?
Pretty much. I mean, has he reached the point where he's become relevant to him?
Yeah, you know, I think we got to see how it goes in Arizona. You know, I mean, because the Cardinals obviously didn't really give him an opportunity to show if he had anything left. You know, now it looks like he's going to get that now. I mean, he should get the bulk of the carries. I mean, I know they're not a, you know, fantastic running team, but, you know, maybe he can elevate it a little bit and they can, you know, try to salvage something. I mean, they've been, you know, one of the more disappointing teams this year. You thought with all the veterans they had, they might have one more, you know, kind of pushing them or whatever. But yeah, they're, you know, they're 2-3, but they haven't looked very good. I mean, even getting two wins, I want to double check, but I think they had to go to, yeah, they beat the Colts in overtime just by a field goal. And then they beat the Niners, the 49ers, by a field goal. And I actually believe that was a game. I think San Francisco should have won that game. It was just one of those weird ones. But, I mean, you look at their effort last week, you know, just a couple days ago, I should say, the Eagles beat them 34-7, and that was never a game. So, yeah, you know, I don't know. You know, they got a couple home games now. They're hosting Tampa Bay. Then they got the Rams coming in. So, you know, we'll have to see how they do. But, I mean, yeah, they're kind of, you know, at a what you would call a make-or-break point. I mean, this is the oldest average team in the NFL, and you just don't know how much, you know, if you know, they're going to have to end up kind of, you know, rebuilding or getting younger or however they go about it. So, you know, what the heck? They might as well take a shot with Peterson. So, you know, just what you got. Are you going to go out and pick him up in fantasy now?
Am I going to what?
Are you going to go out and pick him up in fantasy now?
No. Well, maybe in one of my teams. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe I'll have to go out and look for him and see if I can grab him before you. So, you know, that should be fun. But, oh, all right. Well, let's move on to the other stupidity story in sports today here, Dan. Did you know, and I'm not sure if you did or not, but maybe, I know sadly you have a, you know, a full-time job, so you don't get to pick up on some of the earlier stuff like I do, because I get the fun of going to work at night. Did you see that both the Cubs and the Nationals had asked Major League Baseball and TBS to move today's game to a 1 o'clock start time, and TBS said no?
Yeah, I heard a little bit about it. I heard it was all Ernie's fault. Him and Ron Darling.
They had suggested that, you know, because obviously teams look at long-term forecasts and everything, because, well, they're smart enough to do that, and obviously the networks are just complete morons. And yeah, TBS didn't like the idea, so they told them no, they couldn't do it, and now we got a postponement because they wanted to wait till 4:30 to play the game. So.
I think they were trying to do something where they go up for ratings up against the Yankees, Indians thing.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what they thought, you know, because I'm not sure, and maybe you could help me. Do you think there would have been a big difference in the viewing audience between a 1 p.m. start and a 4:30 start? you know, I mean, our time, obviously it's a little later on the, you know, the East Coast, but I don't know, would it have been that big of a swap for you, do you think?
No, I mean, Cubs fans are used to 1 o'clock service.
So, yeah, I was just kind of, you know, I was just kind of like, well, okay, if this is, you know, and at first I didn't think it was a big deal until I saw the weather. And then I was, okay, well, you guys are obviously completely stupid because you're not paying attention here. You know, and I mean, I know, I get it. Okay, you know, it's not a 100% accurate forecast. Okay, I understand that. You never know what's going to happen. But, hey, guess what? It rained, and now you cost us a game because we got to, you know, push this back. And the sad part here, Dan, is this couldn't play into the Nationals' hands any better. You know, we got to, you know, we get game four tomorrow. So if they want, they could come back with Steven Strasburg. And then we get the day off before we go to Washington. And if they wanted to again, they could come back with Max Scherzer.
The next stop will be Henley Park.
So, yeah, it was just kind of like, oh, hey, wow, could you guys have set this up any better for Washington to, you know, to come in and possibly pick up a win here? I mean, this, you know, this is just ridiculous. But, you know, that's, you know, how things work out. And I guess they're going to get the games they want, or however you want to look at it. But yeah, I kind of, you know, I'm under the impression that it was complete, total stupidity. And, you know, they just kind of, you know, unknowingly kind of screwed the Bears, you know, whether they thought they were doing it or not. The Bears, I'm sorry, the Cubs. Jeez, yeah, what the hell, I'm still in the first. I mean, you know, stupidity, I naturally go to the Bears when I'm thinking Chicago sports. So, but, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, what do you think here with this?
Well, I mean, TBS is an East Coast station, right? You're part of CNN conglomerate. Maybe they want a Yankees-Nationals series.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they wanted a, you know, some type of, you know, West Coast series, or East Coast series, sorry, you know, to come through like that. I mean, you know, now with the way this goes, none of this surprises me with what these, you know, the networks do or what they try to do or any of this other, you know, any of this other garbage. It's just kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever. So.
Well, and I mean, the one thing I heard guys complaining about it over the weekend, how bad the TBS broadcasts are. And I mean, it was one thing to have Ernie doing a pregame show, but to see him calling the game, I mean, he's definitely not known for baseball, so it just seems completely, I don't know, I mean, you talk about out of the box, but this is way far out of the box, and I think they would have used someone more recognizable within Major League Baseball. And then the whole Sam Ryan stuff is just kind of, you know, her quote sideline reporting is kind of, it doesn't really fit. And then, you know, I didn't really notice, and it's a super small stupid thing, but the pitch tracking, any other broadcaster puts it down in the right-hand corner, and CBS decides to put it up in the upper left, and, you know, my eye immediately is trained to go to the right, bottom right-hand corner. So you're constantly looking for it because you're just thrown off. I mean, they host about, what, 30 Sunday games throughout the season now, and they're not even, you know, stuck with just the Braves anymore. You're not stuck with, but, you know, have that long-term contract with the Braves. So, I mean, why even bring them into this?
You know, like anything else, it's money.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they, they paid the most money for it, so, you know, they get to do it.
Yeah, but you would think that someone else would be offering more money, even the mothership. I mean, they could definitely afford it.
But, you know, they got theirs, or, you know, I mean, a lot of times, you know, these are done with sealed bids. So, you know, maybe, you know, they just, you know, they lost out, or, you know, who knows how these things are negotiated at times. I mean, it's just like, you know, okay, here we go, you know, we're doing this or that or blah, blah, blah. So, you know, we'll, you know, but yeah, it was just kind of their, you know, their whole thing is kind of like, yeah, okay, I'm just not, you know, not all that interested in their coverage. I mean, yeah, okay, you know, obviously I watch it because it's baseball, but, you know, a lot of times I just kind of tune out what they're talking about and watch the game. I mean, I don't need them to describe to me what's going on. I, you know, like, I love Ron Darling. I think he does a really nice job. But, you know, other than that, you know, what else is there to turn it on? Like you said, Ernie Johnson is kind of, you know, I mean, he's good in the studio with the basketball guys, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's about, so, you know, we'll have to see. But I did want to ask you, you know, Cub-wise, I forgot to mention, do you stick with Jake Arrieta tomorrow, or do you go back to Kyle Hendricks if you're the Cubs? Schomburg Stu asked me this, and I forgot to bring it up.
I would go with Kyle Hendricks. But, I mean, it doesn't really matter anymore. You know, let's be honest, the starting pitcher doesn't even matter in the division series.
Yes.
Because they give up one run and put a guy on second in the top of the second inning, and the bullpen's already warming up, be it a relief pitcher or the second starting pitcher. So, I mean, I think the Cubs will just stick with Jake Arrieta, but I think Hendricks will be ready to go in the third inning.
So, yeah, and it looks like they're reporting on the good old Mickey Mouse website here. The top of the article says, Nats stick with Roark after Game 4 postponed. So it looks like we're going to go with the same starters, because as it goes down a little earlier, a little farther, Joe Maddon says he'd stick with Jake Arrieta. So it looks like we'll get, you know, the normal guys. You know, like you mentioned, you know, the Cubs will not only have now Kyle Hendricks, but they still have John Lackey, you know, sitting in wait, who hasn't been used in the series either. So they've got a couple starters ready to go if Arrieta runs into trouble. And, you know, now, would, you know, we've had this discussion many times. Do you think the Nationals would go to Strasburg? You know, he's had some minor injury issues this season, but nothing major. He hasn't made a relief appearance since college. Do you think they'd take that chance? You know, even in a do or die?
I mean, I think they should. And I don't think they would have any reason not to. So maybe Dusty is a little bit more traditional.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I guess you wonder if, you know, would upper management get involved? Because obviously, you know, he has the long-term deal. He's going to be a guy that they're going to build a relationship around. Do you think they would kind of quietly not let out, say, hey, you know, we don't really want this guy used in relief?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean,
so, all right. Well, you know, while we're, you know, on Cubs and stuff, I have to ask you about this, because I actually didn't hear about this story at all until yesterday. You know, and you go, you know, you still attend quite a few games, at least, you know, many more than I do, not as many as some people. But what's your take on this guy whose name, let's see, it's John Loos, L-O-O-S, who's suing the Cubs after he got hit by a foul ball. Now, you know, it sounds terrible. You know, he's had three surgeries. Apparently he's now blind in his left eye, and there's a chance he could lose the eye. He had five bones shattered in his face. And he was sitting down the first baseline during a Cubs-Pirates game in August. You know, what's your kind of take on it? I mean, I always thought there was something on the back of the tickets that the teams had as kind of a, you know, a warning or a waiver or something. I don't know if that's still valid, but how do you feel about this?
I mean, it sucks. I think either way, it sucks for both. And I'm surprised that the Cubs didn't find a way to just, you know, kind of help them out, take care of it. But, I mean, it's one of the risks you take. And, you know, that's the price you pay for sitting that close. If you didn't want, I don't know. I mean, the netting, I get it. But at the same time, I've gone to many games and I sat down there. I've been by foul balls, but, you know, that I pay attention, I'm able to get out of the way.
Yeah, well, he is 60 years old, so I'm hoping your reactions are a little quicker than his are. I do think he got a little carried away in his explanation. It appears the question must have been asking about where he was sitting, and his quote is, "I had no idea that you were subject to such missiles." So what I would like to know, of course, at first is, A, is this the first game you've ever been to? And B, is this the first baseball game you've ever seen? Because you should know right up front that if you sit in those areas, they hit rockets there all the time. So, you know, that's nothing new. He went on to say that you could be there with a mitt and you wouldn't have had a chance and been able to react in time. Maybe he wouldn't have, but there were people who could have reacted to it. You know, we see it all the time.
Well, in every one of those sections that you walk through the tunnel to go to those seats, all have a little cubby bear holding a glove that says, "Watch out for foul balls." Every tunnel.
So, yeah. So, you know what I mean? I, I'm not saying, you know, this guy did anything wrong, but I would love to know if he was on his phone when he got hit.
Well, on the same token, I mean, each team is allowed to decide, you know, what kind of netting or how far they put it up. So, I mean, if he is true in what he says and he wants to prevent this from happening to other people in the future, then he should be going after the league to make a rule to mandate, not go after just the Cubs, because there's 29 other teams that deal with the same thing every day.
Yeah, they, you know, the Cubs have came out after, you know, you and I talked a little bit when the little girl was hit in New York. Crane Kenny came out and announced that the Cubs would extend their netting. They're going to move it at least 30 feet farther down the lines. This gentleman, attorney, came out and said he had contacted the Cubs about them extending the netting. But obviously it was all, you know, it was already all said and done. So, you know, we'll have to, you know, I'm sure that'll be something. I mean, eventually, Dan, just so we don't have to, don't we just have to encase the whole field in a net and let the guys go out there and play like it's the Thunderdome?
Pretty much. I mean, that's pretty much all you're going to have to do. And it's going to be ridiculous. But at the same time, you know, he wants it now and blah, blah, blah. But things like that just don't happen overnight.
No, you know, and I mean, obviously, you know, as wonderful as it be for them to go, oh, okay, yeah, here you go, the new nets are up. You know, it takes time for stuff, you know, for stuff like that to, you know, to get done. I mean, you know, they're going to have to get through this playoff series. And then, of course, you know, we got to deal with winter in Chicago. I don't know if there's a, You know, I'm sure there would be, but, you know, does a company really want to go out there hanging nets in the winter and making sure it's right? And, you know, you have to figure out how far it's going to go and make sure it's not obstructing any views or, you know, any of the fun stuff that goes with that. But, you know, I mean, yeah, you know, like I said, I feel bad for, you know, the guy who got hit. I mean, it's unbelievable the stuff he's going through, but, you know, yeah, it's just, you know, again, it's kind of, you know, kind of the chance you take when you sit there. I mean, you know, so I guess, you know, in a fun kind of way, Dan, why didn't you sue Andrew McCutchen when he hit you with that home run ball?
I know. I know, I should have. Because
is
I
it too late?
I didn't have a glove, so it's his fault.
But, all right, well, you know, we have no baseball tonight, Dan, so you have a free night to do – well, you have a free night to watch the Blackhawks because – they're playing the Canadians. But while we're here, let's talk about some of the teams that we said goodbye to yesterday. The Red Sox went out with, you know, it was pretty much a whimper. You know, they didn't put up much of a fight against the Astros. You know, it is the second year in a row that they did win the division, but, you know, what, you know, like I heard somebody today blame it on the fact that the Red Sox didn't hit enough home runs. You know, I believe I thought I heard somebody say they were last in the American League. I don't know if that's accurate or not. I'll have to see if I can check that really quick. But you know, what did you kind of see as their issue there on, you know, their inability to beat the Astros and move along again? Remember last year they were swept by the Indians.
Yeah, they're starting pitching.
Yeah, but they had a secret weapon in the bullpen.
Yeah, who was coming in the second inning. I mean, if you can't let your starting pitcher go past the second inning, then you've really got problems. And, you know, let's be honest, you don't deserve to go into the World Series because it's a seven-game series. How are you going to have David Price pitch in potentially seven games and expect him to go – at least four innings of the game.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know or believe that you or I possibly agreed with the move when they made it. So I did find the stats here. Yes, the Red Sox actually were the worst home run hitting team in the American League. The only teams they out-homered were the Braves, the Pirates, and the Giants. And they were 16 or 18 home runs behind the Angels and the White Sox. So, yeah, not a ton of power out of the Red Sox, you know, home run-wise. But they were seventh in doubles with 302. And, you know, they do play in a ballpark that is – you know, for the right hitter, it's built for doubles. So I don't know if I kind of buy that being an excuse. I know the one guy tried to pitch it as there's, you know, nobody to fear in their lineup. You know, like you go through their lineup and, you know, who are you afraid of? You know, like the other teams hanging around, you know, the Nationals have, well, Altuve or, you know, somebody like that. And, you know, the Cubs obviously have Rizzo and Bryant, and the Nats have Harper. But, I mean, who, you know, was there a guy that you were afraid of in the Red Sox lineup, Dan, the one guy you were worried about taking you out?
I guess not really, but you know, but if you're not afraid of them, that means you're going to pitch to them like they did. And, you know, Mookie Betts robbed a three-run homer and then hit a three-run homer. And I guess you could say that maybe they needed to hit more bombs, but that would definitely be at home with the, you know, the shorter right field. But that would mean everyone has to hit the ball to right field.
Yeah. So, yeah, because, you know, right away, I mean, obviously the, you know, the first thing that came up was, well, you know, watch them go out and, you know, they're going to be the team that acquires, you know, Giancarlo Stanton. Like, okay, well, great, but what outfielder are you giving up to get them? You know, who you give, are, I mean, are you giving up Mookie Betts to get Giancarlo Stanton, Dan, or are you giving up Andrew Benintendi?
No.
You know, because it's probably going to take one of those guys, you know, to bring him back. I mean, they, you know, they depleted quite a bit of their farm system going after Chris Sale. So, you know, I'm not quite sure what they're going to have hanging around. I mean, you know, they didn't hit terribly against the Astros. I mean, Hanley Ramirez was a monster. You know, he hit 571, but, you know, like Mitch Moreland hit 385. You know, Rafael Devers, who looks like he's going to be a good player, hit 364. You know, even Betts hit 313. You know, Devers, or I believe, I know some people pronounce it Devers. You know, he hit two bombs, so they, you know, they had plenty of power. You know, I'm just kind of thinking, you know, more and more along your lines. I mean, when you start looking at the pitching. Yeah, well, you know, Doug Fister only lasted a third of an inning. Drew Pomer went inning and a third. Drew Pomerantz only lasted two innings in his start. You know, Porcello, I know, I think he only lasted three, but he had a relief appearance. You know, and just, you know, Dan David Price did give up no runs in 6 2/3 innings and two relief appearances. So maybe that's his new role. He'll be the most expensive relief pitcher in baseball. Yeah, you know, kind of looking at it, Dan, I mean, it looks like they just got beat because they got out hit. You know, their pitchers couldn't stop the Astros, and in return, you know, the Red Sox couldn't match that offense, which is, you know, nothing on the Red Sox. I mean, there's a lot of teams that aren't going to match that Astros offense, right?
No, and I believe it was Marwin Gonzalez who hit in like 8 or 9 consecutive at-bats.
Yeah, it was either him or it was Gurriel, one of the two. I know Gurriel strung together a whole bunch of hits, too.
One of those.
So,
I mean, and let's not forget,
yeah.
Altuve's 3 home runs in a game.
I mean, yeah.
They were just on fire.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I mean, those first two games, they got blown out. You know, Sale got roughed up in his first postseason start. You know, I think Houston put up 8 runs in those first two games before – you know, the Red Sox found a way to get a win. And yeah. I mean, it was just kind of, you know, I mean, you look at it and it was like, man, I mean, the Astros just really, you know, really hit the baseball, you know, and I believe I think it was Alec Bregman who hit the big home run in game 4 to kind of seal it up. And, you know, they just, you know, they had kind of power and hitting and, you know, everything else coming from all over the place with guys. And, you know, they just looked like the better team. I can find their numbers here finally. Oh, and of course it gives me the find postseason here for us. Yeah, here you go. Dan, Altuve hit 533 and Gurriel hit 529. Yeah, that's not too bad, huh? Springer hit 412 with Beltran and Gattis hitting 400. And then Josh Reddick hit 375. And now while Correa and Bregman didn't hit for high averages, they both hit two bombs in the series. Correa drove in 6 runs. So yeah, they were just clearly out hit. You know, bottom line, the Astros offense was just, you know, too much. Obviously it helped that they got quality pitching. Daniel, I was wondering, how many teams you think are kicking themselves for not going after Verlander?
Everybody. I mean, I think the Cubs included.
Yeah, you know, because, I mean, we had heard it all before. You know, nobody wanted that contract. Nobody, you know, he was on the downside. And, you know, he made 2 starts, or no, he made 1 start. He came in relief. He had a long relief appearance. Ended up going 2-0 with a 3.12 ERA in the series. So
yeah, he did give up a 3-run shot though.
Yeah, he had the one. Oddly, those were the only runs he gave up. Was that 3-run home run?
But I mean, you've got to wonder, though, he came to Houston, went 6-0. Does that happen on the north side with the way their hitting's been kind of up and down?
You do kind of wonder, you know, if the Cubs would have grabbed them, or, you know, there were talk of, you know, a lot of the other playoff teams possibly being in on them, if, you know, they would have stepped up and, you know, tried to fill the void, if he really would have put up those type of numbers for them. But, you know, I mean, I would say no, probably not, but it, you know, it's fun for us to talk about it, right?
Oh, of course.
You know, just kind of the, object there, right? Yeah. Now, do you wonder if maybe getting back in a pennant race, you know, because obviously the Tigers were going nowhere. It was quite obvious they were going nowhere. Do you think being thrown into the pennant race like that maybe pumped him up a little?
Maybe not so much the pennant race, but just the overall excitement behind the team completely altogether. I mean, you do have a string of young guys, but, you know, the young guys on this team have all, you know, they're not all 20-year-olds. You know, they're not just fresh out of the minor league. They've got experienced youth on this team, and I think it's just an exciting team to be a part of. I mean, let's just be honest, in the AL Central, the Tigers were just kind of blah. And you've got to wonder if it was, if, you know, he and a lot of the staff just kind of had that, well, I'm going to work today kind of thing. You know, I'm not going out to do what I love to do. I'm just going to work.
Yeah, you know, you have to figure with the path they were on. And, you know, as it became clearer and clearer that they weren't going to win anything, yeah, you have to wonder if maybe, you know, after that many years with a lot of those guys, you know, and then he saw, obviously, J.D. Murray, yeah, you've got to kind of start to wonder, you know, why, you know, what am I here? You know, what's going on here? You know, can I go somewhere and compete as my career begins to wind down? You know, so yeah, you know, there are those kind of questions on maybe, you know, maybe that had something to do with it. So, but yeah, you know, obviously he was a great pickup for them. You know, it worked out great, and we'll see, you know, moving forward if it can continue on, but who knows. You know, as we switch over to the National League here, Dan, you know, the Dodgers are, you know, made pretty quick, and I have to say surprisingly easy work of the Diamondbacks. Were you surprised?
Yeah, I'm not surprised they won, but surprised that, yeah, it went that quick.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Looking, you know, I didn't, you know, obviously I didn't get to see a lot of that series being on the West Coast, but I can tell you just looking at these stats here, I understand why the Dodgers won. Here you go, Dan. David Peralta hit .077. Paul Goldschmidt hit .091. His only hit was a home run. And A.J. Pollock hit .111. So it looks like the only guy who you'd consider a starter who really produced was J.D. Martinez. Well, Kelté Marte did well. He started all three games. But, yeah, you know, J.D. Martinez hit .364. Really looks like he was the only Diamondback offensive player who hit. Now, of course, you know, the Dodgers do have a very good pitching staff. It's not like, you know, he's, you know, going up against batting practice or anything there, but, you know, kind of looking at it, you know, Robbie Ray really struggled against the Dodgers after, you know, having a good regular season against them. And then were you surprised last night, Dan? I know Greinke had some ups and downs, and he did walk five guys, but he's your guy. And they hooked him after five innings, and he had only given up three runs. I don't know where they thought they were going to go after that once you get Greinke out of the game, but are you surprised they made that move? Uh-oh. Did we lose Dan, or did he have to run off and grab his young daughter? Well, either way, we will just continue to go until Dan.
Oh, I accidentally muted myself.
There we go. Ah, there we go. Okay, I thought maybe you had to go pick up the girl. So. But yeah, so I mean, what were you thinking about that there? I mean, were you surprised Greinke? They didn't kind of see if Greinke could dig himself out.
A little bit, but I mean, every manager has been quick on the gun with pulling out their pitcher.
Yeah.
So I can't say I was that surprised, you know. I think it's just kind of sucks the way the game is now.
Yeah, especially come playoff time, man. The first thing you do is get your starter out. Doesn't that seems like the quickest thing? I mean, I'm looking here against the Dodgers, and no Diamondback pitcher threw more than five innings. You know, Godley and Greinke went five innings in their start, and that's it. You know, Archie Bradley picked up 4 2/3 in relief. Robbie Ray went 4 1/3 in his start. You know, nobody else. I mean, they never got close to more than five innings.
And I thought the old adage was that pitching wins playoffs.
Well, it's supposed to be good pitching beats good hitting.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, but, well, you know, and I guess, I mean, you got to figure if you're the, you know, the Diamondbacks, I mean, you had Clayton Kershaw on the ropes and couldn't beat him. So I guess that's kind of, you know, kind of the moral to the series. I mean, Kershaw gave up, you know, 4 runs and 6 1/3. You've got to win that game when he pitches like that. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, because, I mean, if you run into him again, he could go 6 1/3 and you might not have a hit. And they, you know, they couldn't capitalize on it, and it kind of set the tone for the series. You know, I know Rich Hill only went 4 innings in his start. Like we said, that's nothing new. Darvish only went 5 last night, but he was really good. I'm a little surprised they only let him go 5, but I know they really like their bullpen, and, you know, with good reason. Kenta Maeda came out of it, didn't give up a run. You know, Kenley Jansen didn't give up a run. Josh Fields didn't give up a run. Tony Cingrani didn't give up any runs. The only bullpen guy who struggled was your guy Tony Watson, who got knocked around in the inning he pitched.
Yeah, he hasn't had much luck with going to L.A., and I didn't realize.
Yeah.
I must have missed that one, that the Dodgers picked up Cingrani. Good for him.
So yeah, I'm trying to remember when they grabbed him, but you know, it was right around the time they picked up Watson. You know, and then I mean, like, you know, we had the comparison with, you know, the Diamondbacks, who really struggled to hit. Well, you know, the Dodgers had Justin Turner, who hit 462. Puig hit 455. Logan Forsythe hit 444. Corey Seager hit 273. Compared to, you know, some of those other numbers, you know, the only guys who scuffled were Bellinger struggled 214, but he did hit a big home run last night. Chris Taylor in the leadoff spot, he hit 231, so they, you know, not really what you're looking. And then the Grandy man really scuffled, just 125 in his games. But yeah, you know, it's just kind of, you look at it, and I mean, the, you know, the numbers bear out in both those series. The better team really won them, didn't they? The Dodgers and the Astros.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, after going to Boston, it was just, you know, the season, well, not only that, the fact that I picked the Red Sox and the Dodgers to go to the World Series, of course, I was rooting for the Red Sox. But, you know, like you said, the better team won, and the Astros really proved anybody wrong that didn't think they were. And, I mean, I'm really jumping on that team now, too. I mean, it's just, they're amazing to watch. I'm not going to let any of our Houston friends know that, because then they're going to give us the old "I told you I was right" kind of deal. But you've been telling us that for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
It just so happened that this is the year that it finally happened. You know, but, you know, with the Dodgers, you brought up you last night, and Darvish, that is, and going five innings, I wouldn't say that Roberts thought they had the series locked up, but, you know, if they didn't win last night, you kind of extend the youth, or, you know, extend Darvish's arm into the playoffs. And, you know, at least, you know, this rainout actually, you know, works in their favor too, because they get an extra day. All right. I don't think it really matters, to be honest with you, but.
No, but you know, they always, you know, yeah. they don't mind at all getting those extra days in the playoffs, you know. So it's not anything a team like the Dodgers is going to complain about. So, you know, we'll have to see. But, you know, the questions come up, Dan, like in Arizona, I think Torrey Lovello is safe because, you know, that team was terrible last year and now they're, you know, a playoff team. But, you know, you get the Boston, you know, okay, they did win the division 2 years in a row, but they didn't go any farther. Could they be looking at a manager change?
I mean, I forget how long Farrell's been there, but I think the way Boston is, that he's there next year. But if nothing changes, I think he's on, you know, thin ice, and he most likely will be gone after next season if we aren't surprised with, you know, a vacancy in Boston.
Yeah, because, well, you know, it looks like, let's see here, he got to Boston in 2013. So this is his fourth year there.
Yeah. I mean, he does have a ring. You know, he did bring him to the World Series and then, you know, two divisions. So I think next year is kind of litmus test as to what they're going to do. But before we run out of time, Big Jack, I wanted to ask you this. I almost forgot it, so somehow it just popped into my head. What did you think about the I think it was actual police on horseback guarding the pool in Arizona? They didn't want it to happen 2 years in a row?
Yeah, it's a little weird. I mean, I guess I get it. You know, you don't like, well, you know, we don't want them celebrating on our field and that stuff, but that's a little extreme, I guess. You know, I don't know. How did you?
I thought it was hilarious. I don't, you know, I, like you said, a little extreme, but I got it. You know, it would have been after.
All right, well,
after hours.
Yeah. Well, on that, Dan and I are going to take off. Look at that. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to do it again, though. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. See what goes on there. That new blog goes up tomorrow morning. Get over to the Facebook page and give that a like, please. And don't forget the Twitter feed at Sportstime Radio. Dan and I are both on Twitter if you want to hunt us down as well. As always, we love it when you come on and listen to us live. We appreciate you taking the time to do that. But don't forget, you can listen to this podcast anytime you want over at TuneIn.com.